Dr. Christie's office. Oh, Mr. Thompson. Oh, how's the new painting business? Oh, when can you paint our office?
And it's the Vaseline program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the show. Tonight's contribution comes from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., with the honors and the prize money going to Margaret Corti of 337 Parkman Place, Southeast, for her play, The Philandering Ghost, starring Gene Herschel as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price.
Your hands are all red and sore, Mr. Thompson? Well, painting is hard on the hands. Well, why not protect them the way so many workers do? Yes, Vaseline petroleum jelly. Oh, it's ideal, Mr. Thompson. Industrial workers, printers, construction workers, all kinds of people who work hard with their hands, including housewives, use Vaseline petroleum jelly. Simple to use? I should say so. Before beginning work, just smooth Vaseline petroleum jelly on your hands to help prevent paint, grease, and dirt from being ground into the skin. Also to safeguard against infection and make oil and dirt easier to remove. Then after you wash up, rub Vaseline petroleum jelly on your hands again to supplement skin oils washed away by strong soap. This second application also relieves sting and promotes healing of nicks and cuts. Well, just try Vaseline petroleum jelly for a day or two. Your hands will feel lots better, believe me. Yes, the druggist has it in tube or jar. Oh, that's all right, Mr. Thompson. I hope we see you soon. Goodbye.
Now for the play. And you can guess from the title, The Philandering Ghost, that here is something new and different in the Dr. Christian story. If you're tired of global problems and unrelenting realism, come step into the world of fancy with us right now and meet The Philandering Ghost. The opening scene takes place in Dr. Christian's office. And that's a new patient just walking in the door as Dr. Christian enters the waiting room from his private office.
Dr. Christian?
Yes, come in.
I'm John Talbot.
Oh, yes. I used to know some of the Talbots in the old days. This is my nurse, Judy Price.
How do you do?
I'm very glad to know you.
Well, you're a Talbot, huh? Well, your folks must have lived in that big house up on the hill then. They want to say it's haunted.
Well, that's the place, and I love it.
Well, you picked a nice, spooky place to stay. Are you going to be here long?
I don't know, ma'am. When the Army discharged me, they told me to rest for several months before taking a job, and thinking that River's End would be a quiet place, I've reopened the old house. But what I wanted to say, sir, was I wanted to ask you to examine me at regular intervals.
Oh, come on into my office, then, and we get to work. We can talk while I'm looking you over.
Thank you very much, Dr. Christian.
That's all right, John. Just take it easy and you'll be all right. Do you have someone to take care of the house?
Yes, sir. A woman named Lily Pierce. She seems to be a pretty good worker.
Oh, I know her very well. She's a good worker, but extremely superstitious. Well, if she sees that Talbot ghost of yours, you'll be left alone in a dusty house.
Do you know anything about the Talbot ghost, if there is such a thing?
Yes, Dr. Christian, do you?
Not very much, except that long ago one of the Talbots, Mortimer, I think was his name, disappeared and was never found. But ever since his disappearance, the house has had a reputation of being haunted.
Mortimer was grandfather's youngest brother, my great-uncle. What did they think happened to him?
They really didn't know, but he was about to be married when his fiancée died. And he never got over brooding for her. His ghost has kept people out of that house for a long time now.
It won't anymore.
Say, Judy, maybe you could help John get acquainted with some of the young folks here, since he's new.
Oh, I certainly could. In fact, I know Virginia Mason, the girl who lives next door to him. And is she cute, Mr. Talbot? And he's a swell person, Jimmy. He has a medical discharge from the Army and is coming to Dr. Christian for checkup.
Oh, I've been consumed with curiosity to know who had moved in next door. I haven't seen anybody around except old Lily Pierce.
Or maybe he dressed her off over there and makes him feel welcome.
What can I use for an excuse? I mean, other than being his neighbor.
Well, nobody in the world makes chocolate cream pie like you do, Jimmy.
That's what I'll do. I'll make a chocolate pie and take it over today. I haven't seen him yet, but If he's as nice as you say he is. Well.
There's no two ways about it, Dr. Christian. I ain't going back to that house.
Oh, but Dilly, it's ridiculous. You'll have a hard time proving to me that you sold that sulfur ghost. Calm down.
Calm down? How can a body be calm around a ghost? A ghost is a ghost, and any ghost is bad enough. But a ghost that goes around kissing people.
What? Who did the ghost kiss?
Me.
Are you sure this ghost kissed you?
Dr. Christian, I may be an old maid, but I guess I know a kiss when I get one. I can still feel that mustache tickle.
Oh, so the ghost has a mustache. What did he look like?
I don't know. I didn't see him. I only felt his presence and heard his voice.
Oh, so he spoke. Tell me what he said.
Well, I was just coming back in the house after something I forgot. And before I could even switch on the light, I heard something rustling. Who's there? I said. And I entirely got the words out of my mouth when this ghost comes up and kisses me. I said, girl, you had a mistake, sure enough.
And then you let out a scream?
I did so. I went, and I heard the ghost say,
"Oh, sorry. Oh, a polite ghost. And, were you sorry?"
Doctor, I'm telling you, I left that house faster than these two legs of mine could carry me, and I ain't going back. I don't know why Mr. Talbot sent me to you, but I ain't going back. That's flat. I won't stay in that house with a ghost.
Now, Lily, you said it was dark and you didn't see any ghosts.
Dr. Christian, you've known me for 30 years. You're not doubting my word.
Oh, no, of course not. It's just that young Talbot needs peace and quiet so he can get a good rest. But that boy deserves a break. He's fought in a war, and now it's up to us civilians to make it easy for him. Well, don't you agree?
Well, I haven't thought about it in that light.
Well, why don't you go back and give it one more chance?
Well, I will, Doctor, this time. I hope I'm as patriotic as the next one. But I don't see that I'm called on to prove it with a kiss-and-run ghost.
Certainly doesn't look hospitable. Should I knock or walk in? I think I'll knock.
Mr. Talbot? Oh, Mr. Talbot?
No answer. Mr. Talbot? I'll just try the door.
Oh, it's unlocked.
Well, maybe I can leave the pie inside. Seems that Lily Pierce has not gotten around to oiling the hinges. Well, so this is the inside of the Talbot mansion. What wonderful high ceilings, and the panelings, and fireplaces in every room. And what beautifully proportioned rooms. Oh, I guess I better put the pie on the table here where I see it when he comes in.
When who comes in?
You startled me. I didn't see you come in that door.
I didn't.
But I didn't see you come in that door either.
I didn't.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter. You're Mr. Talbot?
I am.
Oh, well, I'm your neighbor, Virginia Mason, and I brought you a pie, a chocolate pie. It's over here on the table. And I hope you enjoy your stay here. You must come over to see me. You
were going to say something?
Well, it's only that you don't look at all the way I expected.
And what did you expect?
Well, your clothes, they look a little old-fashioned. That stiff collar and...
And
Judy didn't say anything about you having a mustache. I thought you'd have remembered to tell me about that.
Oh, don't you like my mustache?
Well, I didn't mean that, but it's such an odd style for a mustache. I mean, it reminds me of the handlebar mustaches that used to be popular in the gay 90s.
Oh, I'm sorry if you don't like it.
Mr. Talbot, if you come so close, Jimmy,
darling, I found you at last. I knew it the moment I set eyes on you.
How dare you? You wolf! How dare you kiss me? Well, as far as I'm concerned, this good neighbor policy is off from now on. Goodbye!
Lily? Oh, Lily Pitt.
Right here, Mr. Talbot.
Is our neighbor coming to tea?
No, sir, Mr. Talbot. Miss Winnie Mason ain't coming.
Well, I guess a nice girl like that wouldn't approve of coming over without meeting me first.
Mr. Talbot, are you sure you haven't met her before?
Oh, of course I haven't. Oh, I've seen her from the window, but I'm sure she hasn't seen me.
Well, Mr. Talbot, I ain't one to question your word, but Miss Ginny acted awful upset. When I gave her the invite, she swung into the house and said she had seen enough of you in your time. Kissing young ladies you don't even know.
I wonder what she meant by that. Oh, thanks anyway, Lily. You can go on with your work now. I wonder what she meant by that.
I know what she meant.
What's that? Who are you?
Look at my picture, John.
What picture? Oh, yes, the one over the fireplace. The one of Great Uncle Mortimer.
That's right, John.
Why, Great Scott, you're coming right out of the picture.
Well, of course I am. These quarters are rather cramped.
Are you, can you be...
Am I a ghost? Certainly.
Are you the one that scared Ginny Mason?
Unfortunately, I am.
I heard you kissed her. Did you?
Well, it was to keep a promise I made to myself long ago.
What promise was that?
Perhaps you've heard that shortly before I was to be married, my beautiful Ginny was killed in an accident.
I had heard you'd lost her.
Oh, it was a tragedy. A terrible tragedy. I couldn't face the thought of the lonely years stretching out before me. So I became a ghost.
Now I've heard how lovely your Ginny was. No wonder you were heartbroken.
I was indeed at the time. But the promise I made to myself has come to me amazingly. I resolved to search until I could find the girl who would kiss me just like my own sweet Ginny used to do.
Well, if you want some girl to kiss you, why do you go around kissing just any girl you see? That's the best way in the world to scare them off.
Mm-hmm. Well, how else can I get a girl to kiss me if I don't kiss her first?
Why, you old philanderer, you. If you kiss her first and tickle her with that handlebar mustache of yours, your case is lost.
My boy, I'll have you know that this mustache was my pride and joy in my day. And it still is.
But your day is past. You wouldn't have a ghost of a chance with that equipment now.
Mm-hmm. I can see that you don't know very much about women.
Do you? Why hasn't some girl kissed you long before this? Some uncle I have. You'll be scaring women away from here 60 years from now. I don't think it's even safe for me to stay here.
Oh, no, no. In fact, I think I finally found the girl. And just by coincidence, her name is Ginny, too.
Are you referring to this disgraceful business this afternoon? I suppose you told Ginny Mason you were I.
No, not at all. She came in and asked for Mr. Talbot. Of course, I told her I was Mr. Talbot, which I am.
But you knew she was asking for me.
She didn't say John Talbot. She just said Mr. Talbot. And that was enough for me.
You philandering ghost. Go on, tell all. What happened next?
Oh, nothing much. We just chatted a little. Then I leaned over and kissed her. And then she ran away.
No, don't blame her. No wonder she said she'd had enough of me and my kind. Uncle Mortimer, I'm thoroughly ashamed of you.
Oh, tut, 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 my boy. You should always respect your elders.
So help me, Uncle Mortimer. If you interfere again, I'll take down your picture, and I mean it.
Oh, no, 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 no. You wouldn't do that, would you?
Then, you ungrateful ancestor, you'd better be a good ghost while I'm gone.
Can I come to you for a matter of recommendation gone wrong?
One of mine? I never give out recommendations of this. I'm sure of them.
Well, not yours exactly. It was one of Judy's.
What?
Huh? Yes, yesterday at lunch she told me that John Talbot had moved into his parents' home next door, and she asked me to be friendly. She told me he was a nice person.
John Talbot? Why, he is a nice person. He's a very fine boy, invalided out of the army and here for a rest.
Well, I made the pie, and I took it over, and no sooner had I stepped into the door and laid the pie on the table...
And
Mr. Talbot kissed me.
Well, are you sure this was John Talbot? Oh, speak of this.
That's right. Here I am.
Ginny, is this the Mr. Talbot that you talked to this afternoon?
No, it isn't.
Ginny, this is John Talbot. John Virginia Mason, your next door neighbor.
Yes, I know. Well, I've never had the pleasure of meeting Miss Mason personally. Lily has told me her name, and she's already refused my invitation to
you. I'm sorry, but I had you mixed up with someone else. I'm sorry.
I think I can explain the situation now. That is, if you'd be so good as to drop in for some refreshments this evening, you and Dr. Christian and Judy.
Thank you. I have another engagement. Oh, don't be like that, Jenny. That's not the good neighbor policy.
Of course, Jenny will come, and Judy and I will be glad to come, too. Won't be Judy?
Oh, I think it'll be loads of fun.
Well, I might as well tell you that I'm planning to introduce to you my great-uncle Mortimer, the ghost who caused all the trouble this afternoon.
What on earth are you talking about?
Just come to my party, that's all I ask. We'll let Mortimer apologize tonight. He's really not a very penitent ghost, but I think I know how to make him behave.
Hello.
Nice to see you. Come in and see my ghost.
Oh, the ghost. It sounded as if you had him captured inside down in chain.
Yeah, that's all I wish I had. At present, all I can do is show you his hiding place, but I won't guarantee that he'll come out for this occasion.
Oh, I'd like to see a real ghost, just one.
Well, this is the living room, and up there above the fireplace is the picture of my great-uncle Mortimer Telford.
Look. Oh, now it's too late, but I'm sure he winked at me.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's an overly amorous ghost.
But look, he doesn't like what you're saying.
Oh.
Picture's right. Mm.
Now it's dark.
2-1, Mortimer has left in a huff and gone to another room.
If that's so, I think I had better see if I can find him. That ghost owes me an apology.
Jenny, here I am.
Oh, I didn't see you in the shadow.
I wasn't in the shadow. I just materialized. You know, one of the advantages of being a ghost. What was it you wanted?
Mortimer, tell me, Frank. Why did you kiss me this afternoon?
Well, I think mostly because you remind me so much of my own Jenny that I lost many years ago. I envy my nephew, John.
Why?
Because he's young, has a very pretty girl.
You couldn't buy him a sandwich.
I could. And I do.
Why? He didn't even have the courtesy to thank me for the pie I brought over this afternoon. That's how much he thinks of me.
Jenny, I have a confession to make.
Hmm?
Yes, it seems that I was not only very rude to you this afternoon, but I also was a petty thief. And not that I'm sorry. The pie was delicious, and I enjoyed every crumb of it.
You mean you ate the pie?
My dear, nothing's impossible with a ghost.
And here I thought that John had eaten it. Uncle Mortimer, you may have your fault, but you are a darling.
Why, Miss? Jenny, you kissed me. You really kissed me. An old emaciated ghost like me. Oh. Oh. Oh.
What's the matter? Don't you like it?
Do I like it? Well, oh, I almost forgot. I almost forgot. My time on this earth is up.
You mean you're going away?
I'll have to now. You kissed me.
What's that got to do with
it? Well, you see, long ago I promised myself that I would haunt this house until somebody kissed me the way my Jenny used to kiss me. And now you've done it.
Oh. You're not satisfied?
Oh, no, no, no. It was worth waiting for. And the waiting was fun. Goodbye, Jenny. Goodbye.
Oh, John, did you find Jenny? She's been gone a long time.
Oh, I don't think we need to worry about her. Mortimer is harmless.
Supper is served.
Oh, look there, the picture's falling.
It's the ghost.
What's the... Oh,
the picture itself.
Yes, and you can see the hocus film being placed on the wall and the wire on the picture is not broken.
Mortimer is acting up again. I must speak severely to him.
Somehow, I have the feeling that Mortimer doesn't like you anymore.
What makes you say that?
What goes on here, anyway?
Why not? Why not?
Say I'm weary and say I'm sad. Say that health and wealth have missed me. Say I'm growing old for that. Can you kiss me?
Why, Dr. Christian, look on the back of the picture. The poem. The very one you just quoted.
Of course, I'm a clairvoyant.
What? Oh, I get it. Oh, come clean, John. Have you by any chance been playing ghost?
It's nice work if you can get it. And it pays off in chocolate pie.
Oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. Shouldn't he, Jenny?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, you're a bunch of frauds. All of you, exorcising a ghost.
Well, Mortimer and his handlebar mustache is gone. Now it's up to John and Jenny whether the ghost will be replaced with the life and love and laughter the old house is waiting for.
Listening to another Dr. Christian Prize play with our star, Gene Herschel, waiting to greet you. Men, you help make every first impression a good impression when you're careful about grooming. Keep your hair looking its well-groomed best. If it's stubborn, stiff, and dry, if you're troubled with loose, flaking dandruff, remember these are signs of dry scalp. Combat dry scalp. Check it quickly, easily, with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements natural scalp oil. Contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. Just 5 drops a day, applied with comb or directly on the hair, check dry scalp and keep your hair perfectly groomed. Also, a brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo loosens dandruff, relieves itchy tightness. Vaseline Hair Tonic is the ideal care for scalp and hair. And the proof is this. More bottles of Vaseline Hair Tonic are sold today than of any other hair tonic in America. Buy, try Vaseline Hair Tonic, the ideal care for scalp and hair. Vaseline Hair Tonic is one of the many Vaseline brand products made by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline. And now here is Gene Herschel.
Well, thank you very much. The author of tonight's prize play, Mrs. Margaret Corti, is a young wife and mother, as well as an aspiring writer. And this is her first rate script. She has a Master of Arts degree from the University of Illinois and lives now in Washington, D.C., where her husband is based. Next week, we present a new prize play called Retreat to Kindness by Freya Howard of New York City. We invite you all to listen again next Wednesday evening to the Vaseline program, same time and same station. Until then, I'll say good night.
Back lip? Want a tip? Vaseline Lip Eyes. Healing begins almost instantly. Get Vaseline Lip Eyes tonight at only 10 or 25 cents at drugstores. For quick relief, quick healing, Vaseline Lip Eyes. Be sure to listen to Retreat to Kindness next Wednesday evening. Don't miss it. Bob Anderson speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.